tattooed when I was young and stupid, tattooed 13 on the little ball on my ankle. But it wasn't because for my birthday. It was, you know what it was. It was it was marijuana. 13 stands for marijuana. Yeah. Yeah. So thank God I'm not smoking marijuana anymore. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Although I said, Lord, I've been tempted. He says, you won't tempt me above what I can bear. But I'm about ready to go find me a little stick or something. Amen. This is getting a little too much right around here. Amen. No, I'm just kidding. Hallelujah. I have, though, visited members' houses, not lately. Not in the last few years, but I did walk into a house, and usually I try to announce myself, but I just felt like I was in there. I stopped by. I walked in. Ooh, I got loaded just with the smoke in the air. So, ooh, how you doing, brother? He was kind of embarrassed. He didn't expect me to be coming by, you know. What's he going to do? So I sit down on the couch. I just kind of put my hand down the couch and just kind of rested between the cushion there. Oh. Yeah, there was one there. I said, oh, boy, okay. Yeah, all right, brother. How's everything going? Everything good? Yeah. Oh, yeah, everything real good. Yeah. Yeah, it's real good. It's real good. Well, he wasn't quite sanctified yet, but we're working with him. God's working with us. Amen. But see, there's some folks, I mean, know in our baby boomer generation, we grew up with that. So people do that just like you do recreation. Now they've legalized it. Now it is recreation. My God. Are we in some times or what? Yeah. Romans 13. I don't know why I threw that in there. I just wanted to let you know that it was 13 was what it was. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. If you got it, Romans 13, verse 1 says, obey the government, for God is the one who has put it there. There is no government anywhere that God has not placed in power. Verse 2, so those who refuse to obey the laws of the land are refusing to obey God. Uh-oh. And punishment will follow. Now, I may know that when we do not follow laws and things that we should be doing, I may know we open a door. Somebody stay with me. And I do not need to open any doors for the devil. Come on. And whenever I should get into disobedience, it opens a door. Obedience brings blessing. Disobedience brings curses. And so I know enough to throw that phone in the passenger seat. Don't do it, Ron. Amen. Don't disobey God's law. You're opening a door. And don't do it because you just want God to be pleased with your life. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to obey God. God puts that within us, a desire. And so he says, those refusing to obey the laws of the land are refusing to obey God. I may know it's a law of the land with our smartphones. And punishment will follow. Verse 3, for the policeman does not frighten people who are doing right. But those doing evil will always fear him. I may know it's tough when you're looking over your shoulder all the time. I know you don't ever speed. See, when I'm going in the speed limit, I don't have to worry about the man. Amen. The popo. I mean, I don't have to worry about him. Amen. But if I'm not, I'm. You know how that goes. You're always looking, and then when you see him, you slow down real quick. And then if you're not careful, he'll tell you, "I saw you put your brakes on." Well, you got to do it and not let him see you put your brakes on, you know. I'm trying to help you. Yeah. Well, first of all, we need to do right. Amen. Okay, I'm not advocating disobedience. Well, the policeman is not there to frighten people who are doing right, but those doing evil will always fear him. So if you don't want to be afraid, keep the laws and you will get along well. Come on. Verse 4, the policeman is sent by God to help you. Well, that's generally speaking. Sometimes that has not been true. Amen. Are you hearing me? We don't want to get hung up on that this morning, but unfortunately, that has not been true in some cases. But generally speaking, it is. There are a lot of good policemen. There are some that are not so good, as in every profession. Amen. Amen. He's sent there to help you. But if you're doing something wrong, of course, you should be afraid. Yeah, for he will have you punished. He is sent by God for that very purpose. Sent by who? Sent by God. I mean, if we didn't have law and order, we'd have chaos and anarchy. It would be a mess. It would be a mess. Sent by God to help you, but if you're doing something wrong, of course, you should be afraid, for he will have you punished. He is sent by God for that very purpose. Obey the laws then for two reasons. First, to keep from being punished. How many know that's a good reason? And second, just because you know you should. Just because you know you should. How many times do we know we should do this? And sometimes we don't. Things we know we should do. Amen. Come on, it can keep us from opening doors. Amen. Keep us from, we already got enough things going on. We don't need to help it. Amen. Praise God. And so when we don't obey man's laws, we don't obey man's laws if they conflict with God's laws. Amen. But the danger is when we don't obey man's laws, amen, we open the door for the enemy and Satan and the devil to attack us. And any number of negatives can happen. They don't always happen, but they can result. Tickets, I've said, accidents, even death. Amen. How many know it's costly and embarrassing? How many ever go by somebody and the man has somebody stopped and you go by and you're looking to see if who it is? And you know that's embarrassing enough to be sitting there, huh? I know that's never happened to you. Amen. So I'd like to share with you a review. Would you let me do that by Jeff Hannon, since we're looking at the guardrail for our smartphones. Executive Director Jeff Hannon of the Denver Institute of Faith and Work, the founder of the 5280 Fellowship. It's a review that he wrote for the magazine Christianity Today that he did in May of this year, and it's entitled, Do Smartphones Give Your Soul Cancer? It's a balanced and biblical take on the devices we can't seem to live without. Can you imagine trying to live without a smartphone today? Without any phone. Life is so much easier. Amen? So much faster. You can take care of things. Matter of fact, I would forget my pants before I forget my phone. Come on now. Somebody talk to me. Man, when you forget your phone, you're thinking, oh, man, I either got to go back and get it or I could be in a lot of trouble now. I forgot my phone one time. So, you know, it doesn't happen to everybody. That's the only time it happened. But the one time I forgot it, I may know somebody that's all it takes is one time. One time I forgot it. And I'm on my way to Quartz Hill to make the church deposit. I'm coming down L there. I go to make the turn, and the car quits right in the middle of the road. Well, I forgot my phone just down the street. I mean, you know, a couple miles, few miles. I said, oh, man. Now I really need it. I need it all the other times, but I need it now. So I'm out, got out of the van. I'm hot-footing it now. Nanette Clatt, one of the members, lives somewhere close over there on L4, L2 or something. So I thought I'd walk over there so I can make a call. I mean, it was terrible when you're in a place and you need to make a call and you ain't got nothing to make a call with. Come on. Don't tell me we don't need those things. We need them. Amen. Maybe not all the time, but when I needed it, the one time I forgot it. You know, I think there's some things working against us. Huh? Yeah. Brother Vic helped me get the car running, but I had to walk. And it was getting dark. And I can't leave the money pouch in the car. So I'm walking down the street trying to kind of hide it. And it's getting dark, and this is, it's not too bad out in Quartz Hill, but how many know, yeah, So I go over there, nobody's home. Yeah. All right. Praise God. Hallelujah. I forget what all happened, but somehow we got through it. How many found out somehow you got through it? Glory to God. I think she always told me she left it open so you could go use her phone. I think that's what I did. Amen. And the dogs, yeah. She's got Doberman Pinschers, you know. I thought, oh, shoot, them Doberman Pinschers, if they don't like me, they're going to tear me up. You ever seen Doberman Pinschers on TV? I mean, those are some mean dudes right there. Yeah. Well, fortunately, God shut the lions' mouths. Amen. They like little puppies, just real nice. Amen. Hallelujah. Still got 10 fingers, everything. Amen. So anyway, the Lord helped me. Hallelujah. The Lord helping anybody here? I just said all that to tell you we need them. They're a great blessing. It's a good and perfect gift. One of the best I've ever seen. Amen. And our world has ever seen. But we got some challenges. Amen. And the what I want you to look at is are these phones, are they giving you cancer of your soul? What can we do to place some guardrails over what has become really an obsession and an addiction? Are you still there? I'm going to ask a couple of our PMIs if they come and help me. You say, what is a PMI? It's a professional ministry technician. Amen. That'd be you. Okay. We have another ministry PMI right over here. Amen. Thank you, gentlemen. If you'll hand everybody one of those, we'll quickly. I won't keep you too long this morning. We're doing a lot more with less now. Amen. All right. I believe this will bless you. Then we're going to pray over. Pray over the good and perfect gifts God has given us. Amen. Do smartphones give your soul cancer? Canada is getting real innovational. I saw in a little news thing here for no texting and driving, it says, authorities in British Columbia are taking new measures to combat the danger of texting and driving. The Royal Canadian Mounted Police, the Canadian version of the FBI, is cracking down on this hazard with cutting-edge new traffic cameras. Each camera is a 24.2 megapixel DSLR, whatever that is, connected to a huge scope, allowing officers to photograph drivers from up to 3/4 of a mile away. Wow. The Royal Canadian Mounted, RCMP, is not divulging the exact locations of the new cameras, but they will mostly be located in intersections where cars must halt, such as red lights or stop signs. How many know a red light and stop sign does not mean you grab your phone? I know it usually does. Amen. Okay, now we can get it real quick. Though drivers stop at these points, it's still illegal for them to text. And the RCMP officers have an easier time catching them when they're not in motion. Well, amen. Just a little word to help. I mean, I'm trying to help you. Helping myself. A balanced and biblical take on the devices we can't seem to live without. Amen. I remember the day I got my first smartphone. How many remember the day you got your first smartphone? Upgrading from a dumb phone, quote, I was dazzled. Crisp and clear pictures, email and calendar in one place, ready access to Twitter, Facebook, and any search engine I wanted. In the words of AT&T ad, I could now move at the speed of instantly. But as the months went on, I realized my smartphone was not a neutral tool that would leave my life unaffected. My days started to change, sometimes drastically. It began with email. I started checking it almost obsessively. Wake up, turn over, check email, get coffee, check email. My daughter would ask a question, hold on, honey, I'm just finishing this email. Sound familiar? Then came social media. I could now post pictures directly to Facebook, yet rarely did I consider whether my 300 friends needed to see my weekend family adventures. Twitter became my news source, even though I clicked on dozens of articles. I noticed I never read them through. My thoughts started to fragment into smaller and smaller pieces. Oddly enough, even though I now held in my hand the key to unparalleled productivity, at the end of the workday, I felt a new level of exhaustion. Tony Renke's new book, 12 Ways Your Phone is Changing You, makes explicit what many of us, bubbling under the surface, quietly, subtly, our phones are changing us. Reinke catalogs the quiet catastrophe he believes our phones are causing. For instance, we're distracted. We've checked our smartphones 85,000 times a year, or once every 4.3 minutes. I may know some are better than that. We're a hazard to others. How many can't sit down and have a meal without somebody getting on the phone? I try not to use the phone when I'm coming up to a counter and there's a lady. I always apologize if somebody calls me. I need to talk to my wife because she always has access for me. But I think it's impolite. Amen? Do you feel like that way too? Just seems like we've lost some real protocol, real what's right. Amen. Amen. I'm sure you can understand what I'm saying. We're a hazard to others. Texting and driving makes us 23 times more likely to get in a car accident. How many can praise the Lord this morning that you didn't get in a car accident when you were texting? Come on. Thank God. There's some stories about teenagers that are no longer here that, you know, have died texting and driving here in the Antelope Valley. A really sad thing when you see that and you see flowers and monuments along the road and, you know, man, God, just breaks your heart, does it not? Amen. We can be a hazard to others, texting and driving, 23 times more likely to get in a car accident. We crave approval. Each social media moment is another scene in our incessant autobiography. Why does everybody have to know everything about what you're doing? What is up with that? I know I'm messing with your Kool-Aid right now. I mean, some of it's interesting. Okay, I'll move on. That's killing the anointing, I can tell. Point well taken. We crave approval. Come on. Everybody needs approval and recognition. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Each social media, incessant autobiography. We idolize celebrity. Our attention drifts from the eternal toward the latest headlines and gossip. We become lonely. Technology is drawing us apart by design. We feel the sting of loneliness in the middle of online connectedness, Reinke says. Man, sometimes we hardly even talk to some of our family members, some of our kids. They are on it constantly. There's hardly much communication at all in many families. It's all social media. Come on. Taking over. We become lonely. We get lost in the digital noise. The average daily social media and email output is larger than the library, excuse me, of Congress. Come on now. We lose track of time. My goodness. The wonder of people, plants, nature, and art, even God himself gets lost in the world of urgent notifications. Say amen or oh my, one of the two, it's okay. All in all, Reinke makes an admirable attempt at bringing theology to bear on our digital devices. Snarky remarks on Facebook proliferate, but Scripture calls us to steer clear of slander and honor others with our words. Amen. James 4:11 and 12, Ephesians 4:29. We seek approval from social media, but true approval comes from God. Who are you getting your approval from? Your recognition comes from God. It should be there first, Romans 2:29. We struggle with the fear of missing out. or FOMO, yet the scope of eternity dramatically reframes our perspective. You can read Luke 16, 19 through 31. After reading the book, I felt like I had a digital cancer growing in my pocket. Each chapter builds on what smartphones are allegedly doing to us, creating isolation, distraction, addiction, idolatry, and a host of other ills. Less than inspiring subtitles abound. FOMO in the grave, junk food for the soul, technology and isolation. Perspectives on technology generally gravitate toward one of two poles. Instrumentalism says technology is just a neutral tool, an instrument. The popular phrase, guns don't kill people, people kill people, expresses this view. Technological determinism, however, says that technology is an unstoppable force shaping society and each of us. The machines are out of control and must be resisted lest we end up like the human drones of the Matrix. I may have ever saw the Matrix. Hallelujah. We miss the point if we become either pro or anti-technology. We're not talking about being anti-technology. Instead, liberation from our smartphones and all of our technology is best summed up by the psalmist. I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts, Psalms 119:45. In contrast to the American view of freedom, essentially lack of restraint on individual choice, the Bible sees true freedom as a matter of living within proper boundaries. Somebody say guardrails. Guardrails. Anybody think we might need guardrails for our smartphones? Come on now. I didn't get this. I didn't think this up. God gave this to me. If you don't like it, talk to him about it. Amen. Say, well, I don't like what that preacher said. He's talking about my smartphone, man. No, we're just trying to help you. Amen. The redeeming gem of Reinke's book is found in asking readers to define those boundaries. After reading a list of 12 questions under the heading, "Should I ditch my smartphone?" I asked myself, what do I really need my phone for? As I began deleting apps and setting new boundaries, I found myself catching an appealing vision of a better and slower life, and my phone once again became just a tool to be used like any good things given by God. Amen. See, we can use it, or it can use us. It can be a blessing, or it can be a curse. With all the technology and all the computers and everything, do you realize many divorces have come because people are married to their computers? They zone out from their spouse. Come on. Children zone out from their parents. Isolation. People don't really see each other, just talk to each other. Amen. So we need, to sum it all up, is we need some guidelines, some guardrails, and we need to maybe rethink what is happening and what we're doing with this wonderful, good, and perfect gift God has given us. Come on. How is your relationship with the Lord? Do you have more relationship with your smartphone than you do your Savior? Come on now. I've had to resist it myself. There's so much interesting on there. Well, it's time to read the Bible, man. I want to read my smartphone. Is that just me, or is that, you know what I'm talking about? And I just came on. I just got on. I haven't been on smartphones say for the last couple weeks. But how many know you can go, I shouldn't say that, you can go butt wild.